shit from the
You're gonna hate me because I come to your town and we beat your team.
You're now tuned in to one of the realest sports podcasts for Kentucky basketball.
Three in the air, good again!
And football.
The Kentucky defense steps up again.
Just an opinionated Kentucky sports fan podcast.
Maybe that's a Kentucky accent.
With Jay Hayes and JD Hall. Woo! This is what we do.
Let's go!
Religiously Kentucky.
Big Blue Nation, what is up? I'm your guy, Jay Hayes, and he is,
as always, his voice of reason, JD Hall.
And we are Religiously Kentucky, joined by a special guest today, Jansen Hoskins of CatsCoverage.com. Jansen, good friend of the podcast, man. Big, always doing good things, man. What is up?
Just enjoying a couple good wins the last couple days, and, you know, just loving what I'm seeing from the Cats.
Let me add that I was one of the first people to say Final Four team. That's how it is. It's what I saw. And we are rolling. But to get where we're going with this episode, we got to start from the beginning of the week, Tuesday, when the Cats faced Vandy. What did you guys pick up from that game?
So it feels like forever ago since that game. But right. One thing that I saw was, you know, of course, Xavier wasn't playing that game. You know, but here's the thing. I don't want to say we didn't really miss him, but, you know, Ty for sure stepped up. You know, he played an awesome heck of a game. You know, probably one of the best games he's had so far as a Wildcat. I think we, you know, we just didn't play for 40 minutes. That was one of the biggest things I had an issue with. You know, I feel like the last 5 minutes or so, we kind of just slacked off a little bit. But other than that, you know, if we could have played for a full 40 minutes, you know, that would have been a complete game for us versus Vanderbilt.
Right. It was sloppy. What did you think, JD?
Yeah. Kind of same thing. But again, like, we're down a guard. So you've got to get those guys rest somehow. And when you're up 28 points with six minutes to go, like, yeah, the ending of the game makes that look worse than maybe it was.
Right.
But at that point in the game, when you had Ty, I think, played 37 minutes in that game. I think Grady played 35. Davion played 33. Something like that.
Right.
Like, at that point in the game, 6 minutes to go, you got to get them some rest. You got to get them out, you know, because the ending of the game wasn't in doubt at that point. You know, whether Kentucky was going to win that game, it wasn't in doubt. There just wasn't going to be enough time for Vandy to make up.
Time is running out.
That deficit.
Right.
Now, I know in the first half, that same lineup struggled and was part of the 11-0 run. Okay, that's fine. Be upset about that lineup being in at that time. But seeing the people that were upset about that lineup being in with 6 minutes to go and you're up 28 points, I think that was just them bitching about wanting something to bitch about in a game where they won by 12 points on the road.
Right.
In a place where Kentucky generally doesn't play real well.
Cats did win 78-66 by 12 points. And, you know, it was sloppy, like finishing out and everything.
But yeah.
We were without our point guard and on the road. Silly Jim. Right. But, you know, a win is a win, and Cats now 14-3 overall, 4-1 in conference play. And then we go through the week. You know, Coach Cal's coming out saying, hey, get to the Tennessee game on the weekend, Saturday, to see Shaden Sharp in warmups. You know, right. Of course, there's still people out there saying, is he going to play? He's going to play. And we're like, yeah, okay. But yeah, so that's where we are. And then we go into the Tennessee game and we get the bad news of Coach Joe B. Hall.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about that? I know I seen a great pic of Jansen with Joe B. Hall, and I'm like, man, I've seen that pic before, but I'm like, wow. So you've got to chat it up with him before. What did you think of Coach Hall?
Listen, I can't remember what year that is off the top of my head, but I think it was 2017 or 18, one of the two, before all the COVID started hitting and everything. And it was at a UK charity event game. And me and my cousin, we just went and hung out, and we got the privilege to sit and eat and chat it up with Joe B and, you know, just pick his mind a little bit. And just, he was, one thing I took away from it, he was so humble. And even though it's been years since he's been a coach, or player or whatever, he still just finds time for the fans, and he just wants to connect with all of Big Blue Nation on a level that, you know, I've not seen from, you know, anybody. And right. it was an honor just to be in that guy's presence, and, you know, to be able to talk to him like that. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. I got my picture taken and got to talk to him a little bit at one of the signs that they used to do at Rupp Arena before they started the renovations. You know, your friend of mine would do those player coach signings or whatever. And, you know, that was at the time where his health was really starting to go down. Like he was starting to walk with a cane and, right. and stuff, but he still, I mean, he couldn't have been a nicer human being. You know, all these people coming through, he was always smiling. He talked to them. It was just, you know, and sharing the last name with him, you know, it's, you know, I can joke that, you know, we're related as my cousin or, you right. know, a distant uncle or, you know, something yeah. like that. But, you know, I was on my way to Lexington for the game when Coach Cal tweeted out the news about Coach Hall passing away.
Right.
And, you know, I just had, you know, I got the notification, picked up my phone. I was glancing through it real quick and I saw it and I put it right back down. I told my wife and she's like, oh my God, no. You know, so I had my picture taken with his little statue outside the Wildcat Lodge a few years ago. It's been longer than that now. It might have been the first year that they put it up when I got my when I first took my picture with it. And I didn't even realize it at that time, but I was sitting in with the same pose that he had, just the opposite way.
Right.
You know, so it was kind of like a mirror image. And then in this past summer, after Terrence Clark passed away, I got another picture with the statue to kind of update.
Right.
For, you know, the new version of the picture. And, you know, it's not the same because I had to take it myself, but
right.
He's a part of the Big Blue Nation that's going to be missed a great deal because of what he meant to the program, not only as, you know, just an ambassador for the program in his later years, but what he did to keep the program on top yeah. after Coach Rupp retired.
Right.
And, you know, not many people think about what could have happened had they not hired Joby Hall or they hired somebody else, what could have happened to the Kentucky program? Because at that point, Kentucky was Rupp. You know, right. we talk about Duke being Coach K. At that point, Kentucky was Rupp, was Coach right. Rupp, and that right. was really their history. And Coach Joby Hall helped extend and cement our place among the Blue Bloods. So he's a part of the Wildcat family that's definitely gonna be missed.
Yeah, forever a Wildcat. Joby Hall definitely will be missed. Coach Hall came in. This is what I'm kind of sad because I got the honor of meeting Coach Hall several times. Always spoke, always nice, but I never got a picture with him. So that I hate that. But I got to talk to him and I got to see him like. But always when I would see him, man, he was just talking to people and just. He was that guy. And just to come into what Kentucky is, what we know Kentucky is mm-hmm. you know, and to deal with that pressure, and he did, to fill those shoes, he did. And then afterwards, he was that guy, you know, going to practice. People loved him and mm-hmm. just a humble guy. And I've met some coaches that wouldn't give you a time of day. And for him to be like that with thousands and thousands of people always giving his time, he's definitely going to be missed, and I will say that he is definitely forever a Wildcat, you know.
Absolutely.
And we'll continue to talk about Coach Joby Hall.
When I went on the floor my first time as a player in the old alumni gym, and the band was playing on U of K, and I came out of the tunnel onto the floor with Kentucky written across my chest, the hair stood up on back of my neck. And there couldn't have been a bigger thrill in your life. And every time I ever represented the university, even on the road or here at home, with one of my teams, the star of that game, I remembered my first trip out on that floor. And I think I had the same sensation when the band played on U of K that I had that first night. And that was a great feeling.
With that being said, we had a celebration for Joby Hall in yes, the form of spanking Tennessee's ass. I tell you what, have you got, now seriously think about this. Have you guys seen an offensive performance like that?
I'm trying to think of one. I've seen some great ones.
But man, that was.
What people are going to point to is that 96 game against LSU where they scored 86 points in half.
Right.
But that wasn't fueled by just great offense. That was fueled by a ton of turnovers by LSU,
right.
A bunch of threes by Kentucky. So it wasn't just a great offensive performance. This game was, I mean, it was just...
clinic.
Yeah, I mean, and you would be sitting there watching the possession. You're like, man, they're a little bit, like, disjointed, and it seems like they're getting pushed and they're uncomfortable. But it was almost like they were kind of, I don't want to say slow playing the possession, but slow playing the possession. Because like Cal said after the game, they were double screening the screener, you know, up top. They'd screen it once and come back and screen it right again. And it caused a lot of problems for Tennessee, not just on that primary ball handler, but leaving guys open, leaving Grady open, leaving Davion open, you know. So it's the most efficient offense I've seen from Kentucky in a long time.
What'd you think, Jansen?
Well, like JD said, you know, it was really, you know, Grady was huge, right? But so was Mintz. That was probably the best game I've seen Mintz play this year. And, you know, since some of his games last year. But the screens to get those guys open, you know, they were saying that Tennessee had, you know, the second best. Jay Billis beat it, you know, to a hole in the ground, that they had the second best defense in the nation or something like that.
Right.
I would hate to see the worst. But anyway, I don't know. It was just... we couldn't miss, and that, you know, we don't see that a lot, you know.
Right.
That's why I want to see players like Grady, Mintz, even Washington, just put them up. You know, if you're open, shoot it. That's, and I think that's what will happen if you see that going on.
And run.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I tell you what, man, it was from beginning to end, I was just like, wow. And I was just kind of blown away. Like, we keep getting better and better and better. And, of course, you know, that happens. And here we are in the middle of January, and I'm like, damn, I love this team. This team is exciting. Right. And we keep getting better on defense as well. But if we could get up more and more, you know, with the offense, man, this team is scary good, like I said. I'll say it again. Final four. But anyway, but man, I was loving it. And what a celebration, man. You know, just everything going on. We're celebrating for the life of Coach Joe B. Hall. We have the football. Mark Stoops come in.
Mm-hmm.
And JD, you were at the game.
I was at the game. Yeah.
What was the atmosphere like?
It was crazy. I've been to a lot of games at Rupp.
Right.
That's the loudest I've heard it. Wow. And I know people talk about the game against Florida when Florida came in number one and then they got their asses kicked, but and some Louisville games. But for the games that I've been to, that was the loudest game I've seen. You couldn't even hear the whistles from the officials when they were blowing the whistle for a foul or blowing the call, the play dead or whatever. Like, when Bryce Hopkins got nailed for that foul at half court when he went for the steal.
Right.
Like, he kept running. I didn't hear the whistle. And, you know, everybody stopped, so you know there was a foul. But I couldn't hear the whistle. And it's not like my seats are way up in the nosebleed.
Right.
Yes, I'm in the upper level, but I'm only four rows back from the edge. So you could not hear a whistle in there. And that place was, I mean, it was electric and it was full. You know, most of the empty seats that I saw were down in the lower levels. For whatever reason, the upper level was completely full from what I could tell.
Rocking.
Even the end zones, which are usually the places where the big gaps are.
Yeah.
All the way, they were filled all the way to the top. But to kind of piggyback off like what you guys are saying about, you know, Tennessee's defense and Kentucky getting better.
Who says that Tennessee's defense is number two?
KenPom. Their defensive rating. They're right. Number two in KenPom.
Behind game. LSU, right?
Behind LSU. Now, Kentucky's offensive performance in that game dropped LSU five spots. They went from number two to number seven.
Right.
Kentucky's offense went from number eight, I believe, or number seven, up to number four.
Right.
And Kentucky moved up from number nine to as high as number three in the KenPom. But to kind of talk about the defense, Kentucky's defensive rating over the last three games has dropped from number 18 to number 30. So that's yes, they've been playing pretty good defense all year.
Right.
But the last three games against Georgia, Vandy, and Tennessee has hurt that defensive rating.
Right.
So they need to get back to playing the type of defense they were playing up until that point, which I think they will. I mean, Tennessee was shooting 28% from three coming into that game in conference play, and they shot 50%.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of that was because they were leaving shooters. Now, you can't leave Powell and Vescovi open because they're going to hit the shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Vesky was shooting like 53% from three or something like that coming into the game. Those are guys you can't leave open.
Right.
And Kentucky did leave them open too many times.
Yeah.
But I think that's something that Coach Kyle and the staff is going to start focusing. Yeah. I mean, you already know how good your offense is, especially with Ty and Savir playing the point guard position as well as they're playing. Now they just got to get that focus back on the defensive end to be the team that they can be. The potential is there for them to be a Final Four national title contender, but they've got to get that focus back on the defensive side of the ball so that it can match that offensive side of the ball that we're seeing right now.
Right. Kentucky wins 107-79. How do you beat a team by 28 and they shoot that good? Tennessee shot the ball really well, and we win 107-79. Like, that's incredible to me.
It's kind of crazy, to be honest. But that tells you what level Kentucky's offense was at in that game.
Right.
They shot 79% in the first half.
Yeah.
They shot a cool 57% in the second half.
Like, their tempo was just insane.
Yeah,
that game.
I love it.
Until about the 10-minute mark of the second half,
right?
Like, every time they could get the ball and run, they were gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there was nothing that Tennessee could do to stop. Nothing. It bodes very well for Kentucky and not very well for the rest of the SEC if Kentucky's offense is going to be played at anywhere near that level.
It was amazing for Kentucky to smack Tennessee like that. I loved it. Tennessee fans were super quiet. Super mm-hmm. quiet. Like, yeah. And I mean, they had their team shot really good. I mean, just Kentucky was way better. But now we got Texas A&M coming up Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then next Saturday is the matchup that people are waiting for. Kentucky versus Auburn. At Auburn. Will Kentucky do it again? Will Kentucky shoot this good again?
Let it run!
I think they can. I'm not going to be like you, and I'm going to put a guarantee sticker on that.
Right.
But I'm going to piggyback on something JD said. You know, if they can just kind of mix match, like at the first half of the year, you know, our defense was, you know, we were doing really good defensively. Yeah. But, you know, we were struggling offensively. And, you know, the roles have switched a little bit, you know, the second half. If they can just, you know, work and get those things to mesh a little bit, you know, I think we found our offensive stride, though. I don't think we'll go out and put 107 on Auburn, though. But I think we'll be fine, though.
Okay, so let me go back a little bit. Texas A&M, they're the first game this week, Wednesday. What do you feel about this game?
I'll be honest, I haven't seen a whole lot about Texas A&M. I haven't really looked into them a whole lot, so I haven't seen. Of course, they're undefeated in the SEC, which is always a tremendous achievement, so you can't, you know, underlook them. You know, you got to go in there and, you know, fight. You can't just take it as another win by no means, but
what about Auburn? You've seen Auburn.
Auburn's good.
That's what I get. Auburn's good. Auburn's, yeah, they are, like, and they got some stars, and I'm looking forward to it. But I believe in this Kentucky team. As long as our defense gets to back to playing defense, and our mm-hmm. offense continues to shoot the ball well, to do the little things right, I'm not scared one bit. And the memes will be flying. Of course, we know for that game. I'm sure we'll see a deodorant advertisement for Bruce Pearl. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. What about you, JD? Texas A&M, then Auburn.
I've said this before. This team kind of reminds me of the 2011 team,
right.
Brandon Knight team.
Right, right.
Which they had struggles on the road to win games for a lot of the year. Now, Texas A&M, I think they've won 8 in a row. They're undefeated in league. But even with that long win streak, they're still at number 59 in the KenPom. And the SEC, it's going to be a tough game. And we haven't played well at Texas A&M in a while. They always play us tough, especially down there. So that game is probably it's a sneaky good game as far as going to for an upset. Even though they have that gaudy record of 15-2 and 4-0 in the league, if Kentucky doesn't come in focused to that game, they will lose that game.
I'm going to say Kentucky by 20 or more.
if they play offense the way that they're capable of playing Kentucky,
yeah,
then no, then they shouldn't get beat.
Right.
But it's all about focus. You know, same thing on the defensive end. If they don't focus in on the defensive end, yeah, they're bad offensively. But if you give a bad offensive team good looks and you don't make them work for their offense, it can make a bad offensive team look like a really good offensive team.
Right.
So I don't – that's really – they can't overlook that matchup with Texas A&M. Looking forward to the matchup with Auburn.
Right.
We all know how good Auburn is. They're still – let's see, where are they at? Trying to find them in the –
I'm going
to
say we beat Auburn by 14.
They're number 9 in KenPom. They're 15 on offense and number 8 in defense. So that game, Kentucky's really going to have to lock down and play really well on both ends of the floor for them to come out. You know, you got Jabari Smith, who's, what, 6'10", but he's shooting like 46% from three, averaging 16 points a game. He's not a big banger down low, so he doesn't get a whole lot of offensive rebounds or anything like that. He kind of floats around the perimeter. But that's going to be a big matchup for Keon Brooks and Jacob Toppin, defending him. And can, you know, Walker, or is it Walker Kessler, whatever his name is, Kessler? Yeah. Is Oscar going to be able to be successful against him? I think he's averaging like 4.5 blocks a game or something like that. But Oscar has at times struggled with really long guys.
Right.
So can his strength and his explosiveness off the floor, can that help negate some of that? Can he get into Kessler's body?
I think so.
Like you want to do with a shot blocker, you want to get into their body and not let them be able to get up off the floor. Right.
I just think Oscar's quick.
They got a couple of guards who are small, just like Wheeler. But they'll pull it from 35. So you can't lay off of them too far, because they'll just throw up three. So that's going to be definitely a tough test. Kentucky and Auburn are the two best teams in the SEC, and I don't think it's really close going from 2 to 3.
Right.
There's a pretty big gap from Auburn and Kentucky to probably LSU, who's the number 3 team in the league.
So Kentucky by 14 or so. Is that what you're saying?
If Kentucky wins that game by 1,
right,
I'm happy.
Win's a win, especially on the road.
Especially on the road, especially because all the struggles that this team has had has been away from Rupp Arena. We'll see coming in that Texas A&M game if they've kind of turned the corner on that. I'm not going to say that the Vandy game was an indication that they had because of the way they finished that game. But if they come out in that Texas A&M game, they play a pretty good game the whole game, maybe they have found that formula opposite they need on the road to get it done the way they're going to need to get it done.
Right. Kentucky now 14-3 overall, 4-1 in conference play. Texas A&M coming up, then Auburn. And we're sitting good. But in the meantime, there is a lot of dumb shit being posted on Twitter. So you know what time it is. It's time for the dumbest shit from Twitter this week. What do you got, JD?
Oh, let's see. We've got this dude.
I feel like you want to go on. I feel like this should be just a JD rant, because you was like, this f***ing guy here. Like,
oh, my God. If anybody follows me and has seen this interaction from 4 or 5 days ago. Let's see if he blocked me or not. No, it's still there. So back in the South at Wildcats_Braves. Boo, you stink! His first tweet, and it was after the shoot around for the Vandy game. This MF-er tweets out, "I know this is just fun, but as poorly as the team has executed over the years, especially on the road, I think their time would be better spent elsewhere."
What the fuck is he talking about?
Like, what are they supposed to do when practice is over? When the walkthrough is over? That has absolutely nothing to do with end-of-game situations. Right?
Right.
It's something fun. Once you're done doing your work, all right, let's do this. You know, we'll all shoot a half-court shot. And hell, it wasn't even a player that made that shot. It was Bruiser. Right? So, he doubles down on that. Until they blow another out-of-bounds play on defense, or run another dumb out-of-bounds play on offense, or OT, whatever, because they don't spend enough time improving fundamentals over the years. Like, this motherfucker actually thinks that the half-court shot at the end of walkthrough or at the end of practice over the last 5 or 6 years has an effect on how they execute an out-of-bounds defensive or offensive play or an end-of-game situation. All that shit is worked on during practice, not after. The half-court shot is a fun little way to end practice. And he still kept going. Like, I retweeted that. I was like, holy dude, practice is over when they do this. Period. End of discussion. You really might have just set the bar for bar so low for the dumbest shit I've seen on this app, and that's saying something. You are the weakest thing. Goodbye. And he actually responded about, like, that was in retweeting, like, the whole, it's not about that. It's the cumulative lack of time over 50 to 60 practices that equates to 5 to 6 hours of lost opportunity. They are only allowed so much practice time by rules. Goof off with half-court shots on your own and use the time wisely. This team, every year, could use it. Like, he just, I don't know if the f***er doesn't understand, if he's just dumb, if he's trolling. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't get it because I don't see how anybody can be this freaking stupid when I'm not the only one telling him, hey, practice is over. You just said it yourself. They're only allowed to practice for so much time because of NCAA rules with class. Practice is over. They're doing this on their own time.
We got a whole new bag of issues we can forget about, Mom.
It was like 2 hours of me going back and forth and quote tweeting this dude for like 2 hours of the same shit. Like, there was no more stuff that I could say to get him to understand what the hell, or even me to try and understand what the hell he was trying to say.
He don't. Because
it didn't make any sense.
He didn't know.
It made no sense.
On the Bird app.
Like, this is the type of shit that we've been doing this podcast for almost a year.
Yeah.
Guys, we are tired of doing this segment. We're not going to stop. As long as you keep putting the stupid shit out there, we're not going to stop it. But we want to stop.
I challenge. So
you got to help us out there in the Twitterverse by not putting this stupid shit out there.
I challenge
especially from our fan base. Like, we're not going to go out there and look for the stupid shit from the Tennessee ball fans, because there was a lot of that after the game yesterday, too. And we're not going to go out there and look for that stuff. Right? But if it comes from our own fan base, we're very likely to see it, because we got people that are going to, they're going to quote tweet it to us. They're going to send us a tweet in a DM. We are going to see your stupid shit.
On the Bird app.
To do this stupid shit and end up on this segment, please do. But we're asking you, we're begging you, we're hoping that at some point our fan base especially gets better about not putting that dumb shit out there. Right. Because it gets harder and harder every week to do this segment.
It gets funnier. It gets funnier, that's for sure.
Well, we got to start finding stuff that's so, like, some of the stupid shit that we put out there, you know, you can kind of understand. But, like, we're getting to the point now where we just got to grab the most crazy, insane stuff. Like, this motherfucker who doesn't know that practice is over when they do the half-court shot.
Right.
To start filling our segment with.
Right.
Because we can't keep going with just the slightly crazy stuff, the right. slightly dumb stuff. We're getting to the point where we got to do the crazy, insane stuff. Like, I might have to start going to the freaking message boards and getting really crazy stuff and bringing that out.
Right.
But, like, it's insane. And then after the Tennessee game yesterday, you know, you had Tennessee ball fans who were tweeting out, well, Tennessee has more wins against Kentucky than any of their SEC program. Congratulations. You haven't lost as much. We still beat you 158 times.
You're like bing bong.
In the entire history of the rivalry.
Right.
How many wins does Tennessee have? I mean, it can't be anywhere near 70. And you want to brag about having more wins against Kentucky than any other SEC program? Congratulations, we've been playing for 111 years. I would hope you have more wins against Kentucky than any other SEC program does. Because Texas A&M's only been in the SEC for, what, 8 years, 10 years?
Shit's crazy out there, man.
It's ridiculous. And I even saw one today was tweeting about the women's game. The men beat we lost by 28 to Kentucky on Saturday. The women are up by 30 right now. We just got to keep that margin of victory so that we outscore them for the whole weekend. That's your bar of success? Like, that's what you're hoping for? To have a cumulative score between the men's and the women's game be closer? Or do you outscore us because you beat the women's team by so much? Like, talk about a poverty program.
It's bad. It's bad.
It's especially bad because they talk all this trash in basketball, and you've got a program that's never made a Final Four, ever. You want to talk about Kentucky not going to the Final Four since 2015? You've never been to the Final Four. So until you make a Final Four, you have no room to talk. And we're not talking NIT Final Four.
Right.
Because we know you have experience with that.
Yeah.
We're talking about NCAA Tournament Final Four experience.
So basically what JD is telling you is to shut the up.
Man.
I feel like that's the segment. Like the one guy.
Oh, you stink!
That's it. There's no more.
And I only talked about like three of his tweets.
Right.
I told you, I went back and forth with him for like 2 hours. I quote tweeted like 8 tweets.
Wow.
My head was starting to hurt.
What made you stop? What made you stop? Because I know you was having a little bit of fun going, dude.
I don't even remember. It was 5 days ago? So that was the 11th? What day was the 11th? Is that Wednesday?
Right.
Monday? I don't know. Whatever that was. Tuesday? I don't know. Whenever they played Vandy, I think I just got tired of dealing with it and dealing with the bullshit. Because at a certain point, you just got to stop entertaining the stupid.
Right.
And I think that's what I got to. I got to the point where I was like, dude, I just can't do this anymore. It's physically hurting me to just read what he's tweeting out there. Then I've got to come up with a tweet to tweet out. I got tired of dealing with the stupid, and I think I just walked away from it.
Wow. So
sometimes that's what you have to do.
Yeah, you're right.
You're just stuck in that a perpetual circle of stupid because they just don't get it.
Right.
We've got a few of those fans.
Yeah. So congratulations. I feel like we should end up going to the best tweets of the week and give those people some shine.
We might have to do that for a couple of weeks. Like,
but the dumb shit, like it just remains. I challenge these people at the beginning of a brand new year, put an end to this segment. What did they do? They said, hell no, hold my beer. On Twitter they go.
It got dumber.
It got dumber.
If that was even possible, it got dumber.
The Tide Pod Eaters come out the woodwork. I mean, yeah, shit got crazy.
Hey, but at least Dawson got a break this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like he said some dumb shit, but.
He probably said some dumb shit.
But
I'm sure if I go back and search his, look at his timeline from the Vandy game, plenty of dumb shit for me to bring out.
Right. But it is what it is. But that was the dumbest shit from Twitter this week. Like I said, Kentucky is rolling. I like my team, and that's where we're at. Jansen, anything to add after hearing that craziness?
I listen to the segment every week, and like JD said, it just keeps getting worse and worse. And
right.
I don't know. I just wish our fans would just chill out, take a pill, whatever you need to just chill out and,
right.
Enjoy the ride. There's going to be some ups, there's going to be some downs, but I'm like you. I like our team. I think it's been a few weeks since I've been on here, but, I said our ceiling. I don't know how tall it is, those vaulted ceilings.
Final
it's even
four.
Taller than that.
Final four.
Well, see, I was arguing with you. You said that, and I was like, man, I don't know. But, it's easy to say it right now, but if we play like we did against Tennessee, we could beat literally anyone.
Yeah.
So, if we come out and play that for, what is it, 6 games in the – NCAA, we'll be there. But,
ESPN put out a stat after that game. It's the second time in the last 25 years that a team in an SEC game had a 60-60-90 shooting number. 60% plus from the field, 60% plus from three, and 90% from the free throw line. Like, that tells you just how good that offensive performance was by Kentucky. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun last month and a half, till this season's over. So, yeah, I like my team.
Yeah, I'm there. And to our listeners, man, follow Jansen on Twitter on the Bird app at Jansen_Hoskins. He puts out good stuff for Cats coverage. Check him out. Check his articles out at catscoverage.com. Man, Jansen's good. And he's been sitting here the whole time drinking bourbon and being
always
and chilled and chill. He's so cool. But yeah, man, always putting out great work. Jansen Hoskins.
You're one of those high strung Kentucky fans, follow his lead and drink some bourbon during these games and calm yourself down.
Please do.
Yeah.
And you heard him say Final Four.
Take a drink.
You heard him say Final Four. Yes. Cheers to Jansen, man. Like I said, put it into the segment, the dumbest shit from Twitter this week. Put it into it.
Please.
Please. Please do. I'm your guy, Jay Hayes, and he is
JD Hall.
And we are Religiously Kentucky.
This was another episode of Religiously Kentucky.
It was great. Thanks for the hospitality.
If you liked this episode, make sure to give us a like and subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes and our opinionated take on the world of Kentucky sports. Religiously Kentucky.